First up is Captain Wayne Miller. Captain Wayne Miller is a guide on the Mobile Tensile Delta. Captain, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing good. You know, it's been a little chilly every morning. You've been wrapping up good?
Yeah, I tell you what, it was pretty cool out this morning. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, but great weather. I mean, it's like what Joe said, I think it's kind of a tough time of year for the outdoorsman. You don't really know which direction you want to go. I've pretty well simplified it in my life. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to bass fish, but it's pretty confusing for a lot of people because we're blessed in that, you know, there's just a tremendous opportunities for the outdoors here in South Alabama.
That's true. You know, I always miss the best season for crappie fishing because I'm usually turkey hunting. I just can't get out of those neon green woods. I love it out there. So,
well, you know, it's amusing, Alan. I'm sure you and Joe can appreciate this, but I have a lot of people stop this time of year and ask me. They don't want to know about where to catch fish. They want to know if I've heard any turkey.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the answer for that should be, no, I haven't. And then you should call me and let me know if that's true or not.
You are correct.
Yeah, there are turkeys on the Mobile Tensile Delta in certain places, and certain people just go after them every year. I got a report just the other day about two turkeys gobbling, and they were on the upper delta management area. So it's possible, you know. It's easier to do it with a boat because the gate is always closed during turkey season. So you can't drive in there unless you want to walk a mile or two.
Yeah. Well, you know, the great news right now, though, man, I mean, the fishing, really the upper, middle, and lower delta, I mean, the fishing's really been good. From the standpoint of bass fishing, it's a great time of year because these fish are up, they're in the skinny water, I mean, they're doing their thing, you know, there's waves coming in and spawning, so you've got fish, you know, transitioning in to bed, you've got some that have already bedded that are staying in the shallow water, so it's just a great time of year to go out. I've been having a lot of luck with the spinnerbait, but, you know, my number one bait this time of year, and it never fails year in and year out, is that lizard, man. It's just down here, these fish, for whatever reason, they do not like a lizard. You know, you can just really rack up both numbers and quality, so, I mean, that's, it's kind of hard for me to put it down.
Well, I've had good luck in the Delta with just a plastic worm, you know, a Texas rig plastic worm, and all kinds of colors. You know, in springtime, it seems like the chartreuse works good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, most of the time I'm throwing a watermelon chartreuse, tail lizard. That's what I really love. It seems to work great. But, you know, you've got colors like the black grape, the June bug. Even when you've got that off-colored water, typically I'll go to those darker hues. And, you know, they really, you know, I mean, you can, they stand out well in that, you know, stained and muddy water. And but our water's in, you know, it's really cleaned up a lot. It's in good shape. So, you know, I've been doing extremely well with watermelon color.
Captain Wayne, one of the things I've been interested in lately, for inshore and that type of thing, I've always been the kind of guy that just, you know, I just grab my rod and go fishing. I don't really think too much about it. The action or the power and all that. I just kind of go. And, you know, do you... When you're doing a particular type of fishing, especially like what we're talking about here, fishing on these bed and bass, do you switch the type of rod you use up? Do you do anything different there?
You know, primarily on these, you know, when I'm fishing these soft plastic, you know, be it lizards or creature baits, you know, I go to a 7 to 7.5 foot medium heavy rod because typically, you know, I'm throwing a the heaviest sinker I ever use is pretty much a quarter ounce. And, you know, and there's plenty of power in those type rods. And, you know, you've got great leverage with that 7, 7.5 foot. Gives you a lot of power. And one of the good things about the water clarity here on the Delta is you do not even on bedding fish here, most of the places that we fish, you don't have water clarity to the point where you have to scale down to fluorocarbon and light line.
Okay.
You know, you can use that braid. So
you just go braid directly to your hook.
Yeah, don't even use a leader on it. And, man, I mean, you know, so that, you know, that's real forgiving. So even the guys that, you know, that may not have a lot of rods, you know, maybe they've only got a few 6.5-foot rods, you know, if you can use braid, you more than make up for, you know, that additional leverage you get with longer rods. Because you just have virtually no stretch in that line.
Well, that's a great tip. I know inshore saltwater, I'm always tying on fluorocarbon and, you know, that kind of thing. So that's good to know that you can just go straight to the hook.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, 90% of the time I'm using straight braid. And even on some of our clear creeks this time of year, it doesn't seem to affect the bite at all.
I think probably the best all-around, all-purpose bass fishing rod is a 7-foot rod with some backbone. I really like that. That's about all I fish with, and it seems to work with both braid and mono or anything, you know.
Well, you know, I really like the 7 to 7.5-foot rods, but there are a lot of people that, you know, I mean, I'm 6 foot tall, but a lot of shorter people, you know, they really have some challenges with those 7 to 7.5-foot rods, and just, you know, historically, a lot of people like that 6.5 to 6 foot 9-inch rod.
Yeah, it's a very popular size. All right, Wayne, well, you stay safe out there, buddy, and thanks for the report.
Okay, guys, have a great one.
All right, let's talk to Mike Thompson about the Upper Mobile Bay area. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, Alan and Joe.
Well, first of all, how's the shrimp supply along the causeway?
Negative. The shrimp are almost non-existent right now. They're scratching and scraping, at least up on the causeway. Mm-hmm. They're scratching and scraping to get a handful. Same way down at Theodore Canal, Deer River area. You know, they're just not there. I mean, they can go out and get a handful, but it doesn't justify the cost of the diesel fuel to pick them up.
Yeah.
So, you know, they just, and you know, they'll make a test run every other day because they could show up overnight. But some of the camps are bringing in some Florida shrimp, and they come in trucked in with their own Florida water, which has a certain salinity to it. And when you stick that shrimp in our water, which the salinity is not up right now, they kind of go into a shock, and they're really not, you know, performing as a live shrimp. It's a fresh dead shrimp.
Right.
So if you do get some of those shrimp, ask the bait man to scoop you a bucket of water to put your shrimp in, at least to keep them as lively as possible till you get to your fishing destination.
That's a really good tip. Yeah, I've seen shrimp go into shock before as soon as you put them in a live well, and it's the water temperature difference that mainly makes that happen.
Well, it's so sad when you get to your spot and you look in the bucket and they're all laying in the bottom. And, you know, it's not the, well, for somebody like me, it is the cost, but it's the shock of knowing you don't have a part of your arsenal you're planning on using, and it really takes your confidence factor down. So ask for that bucket of water to go along with your shrimp, and take along a little bubble box, you know, to get some aeration in there, and just do whatever you can to push them to the limit, because it will make a difference. I mean, people now are out there and they're catching fish. They're catching specks and reds on grubs and hard mirror lures and such, but not as good as they would be catching on the live shrimp.
Have you heard of any flounder being caught?
There are some flounder being caught. There's a handful of them that have been caught in Dog River. There's a handful that have been caught in Theodore Canal. Nothing over 2 or 3, you know, in a trip.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been seeing, you know, a lot of reports on Facebook of gigged flounders, but that's further to the south,
right.
You know, down around Dolphin Island Gulf Shores area.
So
water's a lot saltier down there.
Yeah, we're still waiting on them to show up along the eastern shore in the numbers that, you know, make a difference. So I guess,
well, you know, some of the, you know, flounder are weird. Sometimes you'll find them in some fresher water, you know, dead on the bottom where they live, but the fish that's really the toughest is the redfish. There's been reports this week of a stray redfish caught in some of these lower bays by the bass fishermen, and they're hitting spinnerbaits, and they seem to prefer the spinnerbaits with the gold blades. So if you're looking to catch that extra redfish, you want to use a gold-bladed spinnerbait. Let me just throw one more thing in. A 9-pound speckled trout was caught this week in Theodore Industrial Canal.
That's a trophy. Anybody's book.
A lady caught it.
Well, that makes it even better.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Thanks a lot, Mike. All right, let's go to Bobby Abrascato and see what's in store for us this weekend on the inshore side of things. How you doing, Bobby?
Well, right now, actually, I'm a little bit in shock that you and Bi are both there during turkey season. I just cannot believe it. I'm going to have to – y'all probably snuck out this morning or going this afternoon or something.
Oh, I guarantee you, I was in the woods this morning, but I didn't do too good. But we've both killed a turkey, so that's good.
Yeah, but I did mine the real way. Alan bushwhacked his.
Come on, man. Oh, you can't tell that.
No, they all count. They all count.
There you go. That's exactly right, man. That's like a foul hook speckled trout or something, I guess.
Right.
Hey, sometimes you just have to get lucky to make up for all the bad things that happen to you.
That's right.
There you go. That's a way to justify it, Big Al.
But you know what?
Hey, well, I tell you what, wind's been the story the last couple of days, but it hasn't really affected the fishing. I didn't get a chance to go yesterday, but I got a late trip scheduled, late yesterday evening, and got out today and then earlier this week. And, you know, the deal's holding up everything down south. Water looks great. You know, when it gets windy, obviously you got to kind of find places to get out of the wind, to be effective, and that's what I've been doing. And, luckily this, the northerly or northeastern component winds that we've been getting are really good winds for the northern part of the sound. And the other good news with that is that there's just a lot of fish down there right now. And, they're pretty well – we fished straight through the full moon nip last weekend, which is some of the tougher fishing, I think, man, you just – you move around, and sooner or later you're going to find a school that bites, And the big things, but you can catch them on top water unless you have a bright day like this. I didn't even throw it this morning, but if you get some cloud cover and some wind, and you get some people that you're not afraid to put a big lure like that in their hand while you're in the boat with them, you can catch them on top water early. But that popping cork deal with the voodoo shrimp, to me, it's gotten everything done. I've given up on even. I normally don't use a lot of bait this time of year. It's just so hard to get. And from what I'm gathering now, talking to the other guys, the guys that are getting it are really scrambling to get the few shrimp that they're getting. Been getting it done though with artificial bait. So if I keep doing that, I'm tickled to death, man.
Bobby, we're going to have a big tide this weekend, and it's going to be coming in most all morning. How's that going to affect things?
That's great, especially doing or if you're doing shallow water fishing, man. That I love. Number one, you got movement all day.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
always good. I don't care what you're doing. Any kind of movement is always going to help. But the other thing is, I love these bigger post full moon tides that we get because if you're fishing the shallow stuff, I go from what I call shallow, which is about 2 to 3 feet, up to super shallow, which is a foot and a half, just to where I can barely get the trolling motor to run. But when you start to get these bigger tides, it enables you to get up there and be effective in some what I call super shallow waters. That's the stuff you're stirring up mud with the trolling motor and that sort of thing. And when the water temperature's in the mid-60s like it is right now, those fish will stay active in that kind of water all the way through the day.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I love this tide that we're on right now.
We probably talk about tides too much, don't we? I mean, what's the current going to do this weekend?
It's the same thing. When you get this tide range here, when you got a huge volume of water, you're going to obviously, the larger the volume of water you got to have that's coming in and out of the bay and the sound, in a certain time period, the more current that you're going to have. But, so when you start talking about tide levels, like I just mentioned, that lets you get up in that shallower water. And if you start fishing, applications where you want some tidal movement in some of the areas, like in the sound, for example, where you typically don't have a lot of water movement, these big tides are the times to fish those places. Those are places like the CCA reefs down to the west and, some of the structure that's down in the sound versus the stuff in the bay. When you get this kind of tidal movement, it gets pretty tough to fish some of that stuff. But the stuff in the sound fishes real well on these these big tide ranges.
And speaking about the difference between tides and current, I want everybody to look forward to the June issue of our magazine, which Bobby wrote a nice story about the difference and how to use the current information and the tidal information to your advantage. I thought it was very interesting when I read it and edited it the other day, so we've got it scheduled to come out in June. It's a good article.
Well, I tell you, the only other thing I'd recommend maybe before you read that story is pick up a little bottle of aspirin or Tylenol, because you're probably going to have a headache by the time you get through trying to figure some of that stuff out. But if you do learn, and it's a lot simpler now with the electronic, and I mentioned that in the story, you know, some of the electronic stuff that you got now, it's a lot easier with a couple pushes of a button. You can figure it all out instead of having to cipher it all out. That's a South Alabama word, by the way, cipher.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, but yeah, it'll kind of get your head spinning there, you know, reading it. But if you can learn how to pay attention to that stuff, it really does make a difference on some of the fishing trips.
Well, you know, Bobby, Alan's looking forward to June, but I'm going to do a little plug here for the April issue that's out right now. You've got an article in there about targeting specifically gator trout, big trout. I know if you're an inshore guy, I'm sure if you haven't already caught a big trout, I know that's on everybody's bucket list, is to target some of these bigger fish. So right now I hear you saying that you're catching these schooling fish on the flats. Are they mixing in any of the big spawners yet?
You know, and that's kind of what I touched a little bit on that story, Joe, is, several of the big trout that I've caught have been by accident. And mm-hmm. I tried to highlight that, not saying that, you know, a lot of times, even if you're using like what you consider maybe a small fish bait, like a shrimp imitation or something, or even a live shrimp, you know, those giant trout are eating a lot of shrimp while they're eating big croakers and pogies, you know. So you still got a chance of catching those size trout. And particularly this time of year, and particularly on the moon phases that we have coming up in April and May, when that water gets a little bit warmer, those big schools of spawning, those big spawning schools, contain those trophy trout. Those are the big females in the school that all the buck trout, all the male trout, they're around that female trying to get her to spawn, or trying to get them to spawn. And so that was kind of one of the points I was trying to make in the story, is you don't give up a lot of times, especially, you know, certain times of year like we got coming up, you don't give up the chance of catching the giant trout by going to even to a smaller bait. You can keep your action going, and you can turn right around and catch a big fish like that. So, yeah, you can. You know, and then, of course, like I said, I touched on as well, you can go up to a bigger bait, and you just eliminate that small fish bite, you know. And you know, there's a couple different ways to do it, but the key to the thing is you want to make sure you got good tackle, you got good knots, and you got good line, because you never know when that big girl's going to bite.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's when you find out that you didn't have your knot right, or you had a nick in your line. It's always when that big one's just out of the, you know, range of the net.
The big one that got away, babe. We've all heard it. You know what I'm saying? And it's happened to all of us. And have you ever noticed those big fish, when they get away, they always lay there just for a split second or two, so you can, they make sure they get a, you get a real good look at them before they swim off.
Yeah,
you know?
they seem to double in size, too. I mean, right about the time they get away, too. So, yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, one of my worst and maybe best fishing stories is I was fishing for triple tail in Mobile Bay, and we came up to a piling, and I saw Jack Crevalle go through and eat a bunch of pogies, and I thought, man, you know, I'm going to catch this Jack Crevalle, and I'm fishing for triple tail. So I throw up there, and I hook this fish, and it just screams drag, didn't fight like a triple tail, it just act just like a Jack Crevalle. So I just start, you know, grabbing the spool and just horsing this thing, got to get it off, got to keep going, all this. And I start to see the slip cork, the line broke, and I was like, okay, good deal. And then here he rose to the top and came. I mean, and it was probably, I'm not kidding, it was probably a 30-pound triple tail. I mean,
I've caught
a few over 25, and this thing was every bit of 30 pounds, and I was just sick to my stomach. But that's the deal. Check your knots, man. Check your knots, and you never know what's going to bite.
Right. Don't ever take it for granted either, man. I'll tell you, I don't know how many people have said, man, after they caught a giant trout, they swore up until right when it came up to the surface that it was a redfish.
Yep.
You know, you just never know.
Yeah, yep. You never know. All right, Bobby, you have a great weekend, buddy.
All right, guys, thanks for having me. Talk to you next week.
All right, folks, let's take a trip up to Lake Jordan and the Alabama River, Jones Bluff area, and talk to my good buddy, Brooks Holland. How you doing today, Brooks?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. The weather's beautiful. It's warming up. Couldn't be any better.
Well, let's talk about the river. The Alabama River up there is finally getting cleared up, and fishing should be good.
It is. It's real good. Surprisingly, the spotted bass are bunched up and just feeding crazy, and usually if you find one, you find a bunch of them, and they're still full of eggs, so they hadn't spawned yet. And of course, that'll be a process all through now to next month. You know, they don't all spawn at the same time. But, yeah, the fishing's really good, the largemouth. Some are, you got some pre-spawned, you got some spawned out, you got post-spawned, so you got the whole deal going on.
It's just a smorgasbord right now for bass, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Well, I know it's been kind of chilly early in the mornings. Are you getting any topwater bite?
A few topwater bites. The weather's been so crazy. You know, it'd be warm one day, and then you have those cold nights. And so if it's not tremendously cold and you get just a little bit of chop on the water, you can get a topwater bite.
Mm-hmm. What about Lake Jordan? What's going on in there?
Yeah, the same thing. The spots are good and fat. You know, some are spawned, some are, you know, getting ready to, some already have. And the ones you catch right now are very healthy and in the 2 to 3 pound class. Tournament a couple weeks ago, a guy caught a 7.5 pound spot. You know, that's a big spot.
Seven and a half.
He had like 20 something pounds of spot. And every one of them was spotted bass.
How about that? Well, what do you hear about the brim and the crappie?
Brim's slow. The crappie's on fire. I was graphing the other day at a little hump I fish, and I got my new electronics going. I found a tree standing up, and it was just full of crappies. It looked like a Christmas tree. There were so many crappie on it.
Well, we're going to have to get together and go find that tree again, aren't we?
We are. I got it marked on my waypoint.
All right. You're a good man, man. All right. Well, what about catfish? I know they've been doing good, too, right?
They have. They have. You know, guys going out there, when they can find some shad, they'll net shad up and get on the edge of those ledges and just anchor down and fish all day and catch them, you know, anywhere from 5 pounds to 25 pounds.
And, right now they're using limb lines, noodles, whatever, all of it. And that good, fresh cut shad is one of the best baits you can have.
It is. It is. And some of them, will put a weight near the hook and use a live shad and, you know, let them hang out right there at the bottom. And they do real well, too.
That's good news. All right, buddy. Well, you have a great weekend, and thanks for the report.
Yes, sir. Thank you.